Ball in Play 2, presented by DraftKings, kicks off on May 5th. Head over to the Warehouse Games channel to catch Game 1. Get some skin in the game and download the DraftKings app right now. Don't forget to use our promo code WAREHOUSE. That's promo code WAREHOUSE only at DraftKings Sportsbook. The crown is yours.
Welcome back to the Compound Podcast. This is episode 134. 134 presented by Parse Rum. Ooh, Dakota's there taking off his sweatshirt so we can show a sponsor that isn't Parse Rum, so we won't even talk about it. Parse is the best rum around. It's from Colombia. Say something nice about Parse.
I'm drinking it right now.
Oh my God.
I poured a glass beforehand. I was like, this is perfect.
You know what? I forgot. Somebody tweeted at us the other day and I meant to.
I just planted a tree.
I meant to comment, thank you. The earth is thanking you right now for planting a tree, and I forgot, but I will. I will.
Elon Musk bought Twitter. And this is a baseball podcast, but we can talk business for a second. Elon Musk bought Twitter, and he's going to get rid of the bots and start fact-checking things. But, you know, I think before he does that, maybe we should create a bot that every time somebody tweets about Parse, we make the bot tweet back at them, thanks for planting a tree.
That's honestly a great point.
You're saving the earth. Like, thanks. You just saved the earth by yourself.
Helped save the earth. We need a lot of people to go and drink. Saved it. We need a lot of people to go and drink Parse in order to save the earth.
It's a team effort. Good point. Can't do it alone.
There's some things I want to cover today. First, I'm just going to put them out there. So we don't forget because Dakota has show notes. Dakota's like, I write
that's
stuff
not
down
true.
Every
I
week
didn't say I have
to talk
them.
About.
You always say like, oh, like, don't let me forget, like, write it down. If I see something during the week and I want to speak about it, I put it in my notes on my phone.
I know you have like 10 things that are on your notes that you want to talk about for this week. But before we get to your 10 things,
I don't this week.
I would like to talk about, Pat Hoberg's perfect game. I want to talk about dugout interviews. We've been saying we're going to talk about those for weeks. And I got something about Presley, the closer for the Astros. So why don't we start? Because we've been waiting to talk about this, about these dugout interviews. Zach, I know you have a strong opinion on dugout interviews. Do you want to start?
I do. I've had an issue, like when they'll go in-game manager interviews, like, oh, why did you do this, that, and the other? And it's like, yeah, I understand you're trying to get, but like, are these quotes, right? So like, you're a manager, A, you're not saying anything that's revealing. B, you don't want to do it. You want to be in the dugout talking about anything. Like, I understand everybody has a job to do. Like, I'm not shitting on Ken Rosenthal or Tom Verducci. I understand. But at some point, like, somebody hits a home run and you're going to go right to them. Like, hey, what'd you see there? And it's like, why can't we talk about this either after the game or tomorrow before the game? Like, there's slots for the media every day, every single day. And I understand it's the World Series. Everybody's watching. You want to get as much press and content as you can. I totally understand. But like, let the guys play, let them breathe. Let them, like, this is such an incredible moment. Like, let them embrace it with the boys that they're going to war with, you know, like, imagine like doing all your high fives and Ken's tapping on the shoulder, like, Hey, Ian, can I get you for a sec? Like, no, man, I'll talk to you after.
I think my bigger one is the managers. Like, you don't think they're like, you think they're doing nothing between innings. Like, they're just hanging out like, let's see what happens.
Yeah, let me get a drink. Hopefully, you want to get a drink? Winning. Like, what are we doing, man? I just don't understand. Like, I've never seen one of those where I'm like, wow, thank God they actually talked to them. I'm happy they said that. Like, that's sick. It's like, yeah, you know, he couldn't get the ball over the strike zone. Yeah, we're having good at-bats. Nothing's falling. Thanks, Tom. Like,
they've been interviewing managers for a while. This in-dugout player interview thing is new for this postseason. When I first saw it, I was confused. The logistics of it to me are hilarious. Like you said, you high five your guys, you're pumped up, and then one of the guys grabs you to do an interview literally in your dugout. And like, the ones in San Diego was when I first saw it, and I was like, the dugout in San Diego is so small. There's no room in that dugout. The fact that a reporter is dead in the middle of that dugout, like everybody else has to clear out for that to transpire when the postseason dugouts are already crowded because there's extra bodies in there from guys that didn't make the roster but have been with the team all year. And it, I mean, the logistics of it were crazy, but I genuinely want to know, and the listeners can tell us, when you're watching a game as a fan, is that what you want to see? Like, are you walking away from when Kyle Schwarber gets interviewed after hitting a homer, like, sick? Like, that was Tom, tell me, what do you got?
I mean, yeah, I don't think anyone, especially, I think the player interviews, weirdly, I'm more interested in, because at least they might say something interesting. The manager interviews, I mean, Greg Popovich has made a mockery out of this in the NBA for years when they do them coming out of commercials, that he just, you know, would like basically not answer anything. I think the problem is we want, you know, as fans, we want some extra element to the game, right? Especially for a game like this. I think the element to me that would make sense, and I'll give a quick shout out to John Boy Media. We've been doing Blitzball Battle 2, just premiered today. One of the biggest elements we added was player mics, right? And super cool. I've always, like, the thing you always want to hear is the players mic'd up. The problem with the players mic'd up is that the leagues will never let anything that's interesting go into them. So the players mic'd up ends always just being, let's go, guys. You know, here we go. You know, hey, way to be. You know, it's all just boring stuff. And then,
oh, hey, are you telling Ian's been mic'd up before.
Yeah, like, Ian.
For example, Ian, you had the Darnold one. I mean, Jack, you remember this, Zach, as a Jets fan. The other Darnold one a couple years ago where
– seen ghosts.
But that was something interesting, right? That was an
no, it shouldn't have been let out. Should not have been let out.
But so then the problem is anytime anything interesting said, they don't, you know, then we go back to just everyone clapping and saying, let's go. So I think the answer to what your question is that it would be nice to hear the players mic'd up and to have them actually be able to say interesting things instead of just doing manager interviews that don't make any sense or not.
There is so many things that players say throughout games that you couldn't let people hear them. Like, there's stuff it just can't happen.
Right.
But would be so funny.
Oh, it'd be absolutely hilarious. But Ian, you know, I mean, guys say stuff and we're not going to go into details, but like, you can't say it. And like,
you can't, no.
I know that, but I'm saying you could
I know what you're saying.
Like, you could find 2 minutes of usable stuff that's not just the let's go team, rah-rah. That's also interesting.
But that's what, okay, so instead of that, why not mic up, like, I understand, like, Ian, you understand as a hitter too, like, you're in the cage. That's a time to get vulnerable. Like, you don't want any eyes on you. But, like, that's where the best conversations happen, right? Like,
I've said repeatedly, and this is an idea that I've given to Marquis and our guys, is mic'd up BP on the field.
That, right.
And like, I did the two-way mic for a batting practice, and I did it in the I didn't hit that day, but I did it in the outfield when I was doing my work. That should be all the time. Like, that's the best time to get content, to get some of that vulnerable stuff, to hear players interact with each other in a positive way. Tom, when you guys do Blitzball, we're going to send you an invoice. Tell me if you want it to be to you or to John Boy Media for the promo here. But for Blitzball, do you guys like get content that's like, fuck you, fuck this, fuck that, or and like bleep it out or not bleep it out, but it's like something that couldn't be on a national broadcast but is okay for YouTube?
Correct. Yeah, I mean, there's definitely some element. Like, I was just watching today, we have Drew Davis, who's plays a major league wiffle ball and is one of the best wiffle ballers in the country, who comes and plays in Blitzball. And it's funny because a lot of our guys are entertainers first. He's takes it really seriously, and so he was quiet for the first inning. I was like, man, Drew doesn't talk. Second inning comes around, right? He gets a couple strikeouts. Then his mouth starts to get going a little bit. And that's the stuff that's like, yeah, you're right. That's the stuff where, as an advantage we have as an online media company, where we can have Drew Davis say, you know, to Jimmy, like, fuck you, strike, you know, whatever he's going to say. Whereas obviously you can't have that in a broadcast. But I do think, again, going back to it, I do think you could find 2 minutes of interesting stuff in a 3-hour broadcast.
Zach?
Ian, to your point, like, that's a really good point. In, you know, in batting practice, especially as an infielder, like, you do so many drills, like, before the day even kind of starts as a team, where, like, if you had a camera and you were mic'd up and you were just explaining what you're doing, why you're doing it, and, like,
for me, like, especially in BP, I want every single ball to hit me in like the smallest square inch of my glove every time. And if I'm not, like, I'm going to be a little mad. Like, I can control basically everything right now. And like, I think seeing people, especially guys like Machado, Bregman, who are so good with their glove, and like watching what they do pregame, or like what they're talking about with their coaches, what makes them tick, like outside of hitting, because you hear all the kind of stuff in hitting. But like, that's such a good point. I never really thought about miking somebody up for BP other than like the funny laughs, you know, like dicking around, whatever. But again, I just think there's way more of a benefit from those kind of conversations opposed to, hey, what were you thinking there at the plate? What pitch did you get?
Yeah.
Opposed to, and like somebody faking it like, oh yeah, you know, like I was thinking this, that, and the other. And then I was lucky and got a good swing, you know, or put a good swing on it. You're not going to talk shit about the guy. You're not going to say, yeah, his fastball is playing like ass right now, and we're all hunting that.
Yeah. I was sitting on a sloppy, shitty slider that I hit 800 feet.
Right.
You know, you do those interviews when you have a good game, and they're even post game. It's like, what did you see there? It's like, yeah.
What do you mean? The ball to the fucking beach ball.
I hit a pitch. Yeah.
Right.
Put a good swing on a good pitch. It was great. And like, that's all you get. But, and it's hard to solve that problem. But when I did I don't know how Marquee aired it. I think they probably just aired it as a pregame thing on Marquee for like 30 minutes before the game. And it was a 10-minute piece of that. I wish, you're reminding me that I need to talk to them and get that clip, because I went through my entire outfield prep of what I do every day, which is and I explained it to, I had Boog and JD, our play-by-play guys, on with me, but I explained to them what I was doing as Willie Harris hit me my ground ball. So I, you know, went to my left, did the spin move of good one hops to second. And then I went to the other side and did it in a couple deep ones. And like, I was trying to explain as I went through it. And I don't really know exactly how it turned out, but I think like having guys do that and then clipping it into like a Sunday morning show where you actually are showing and kids can watch, and then you can put that on you. Like, I think that is very beneficial. I want to keep moving on this, and I want to talk about like the reason why I watch a lot of Formula One. I'm right into Formula One. The reason why their like practice sessions and I'll send them an invoice for this as well. The reason why their practice sessions and their qualifying is so entertaining is because when the drivers get on the mic, like if they're in practice and one of the drivers is too slow going around a corner because one's on a hot lap and one's not, they're like, what the fuck is this guy doing? He's right in the middle of the road. Like, right, and they, right, for
it's raw,
for the stewards,
it's raw thought and like, yeah, what's
and
actually going on.
They'll bleep it out, but like they will do like, for the stewards, they have to put on a show, and it's never their fault. It's always the other guy's fault. So it's like, this guy's a fucking idiot. He was right in the middle of the road and he ran into me. And like, then, you know, they're not all friends and they're all competing against each other, but they all are, you know, respectful that they're all doing this for a living and racing and stuff. And like that kind of content, they have, I mean, it's every week there's something like that that happens, and it's not like a big brawl after and like, I hate this guy so much. And like, baseball is so traditional and rooted in tradition, you know, basketball and football, these guys jar all the time. You don't get, right, to hear it necessarily. Sometimes on the FX mic'd up, right, you get to hear it, but these guys jar all the time. Then they have mutual respect. In baseball, if we were able to get to a point where some of those more raw things were put out, would it just become more acceptable and you would have the respect and it wouldn't be like, oh, that guy's a douchebag for saying that, or that guy's like the worst, right, for saying, right, that? Or would it be like, hey, we get it. It's the content. It's the value of our production. Everybody makes more money. It's great. The one thing in baseball you have is that that guy's holding a baseball that can throw 97 miles an hour at your chest. A little scary.
That's what I mean. How many times, and this is the thing why it's not the same, like how many times, like you say, you don't say anything, I bet like guys come in and they're like, oh, what's this guy? Guy goes, fucking shitty slider. It's just a spinner. Two-seam, right, doesn't do shit. Like,
right,
if that gets out, the next time you face that guy, like you're probably either getting plunked or you're getting their fucking.
And it's funny because like you guys all know that no matter what team you're on, everybody's talking about it. You know, like,
yeah,
that's like the most common, I bet you, conversation amongst hitters. And like pitchers will just sit there and laugh like, yeah, it's really bad. He just struck you out on it three times and you swung.
Yeah, and that's the funniest part is, right, when a hitter strikes out on a slider, right, and he's like, what is it? He's like, oh, it doesn't really do shit. Right. It's like, why'd you swing and miss?
So yeah, like, and that's what, I don't know, like in golf, like
I Spieth and his caddy talk all the time, and it's always mic'd up. Like, that is the coolest shit, you know? And, like, Dakota, say if you're throwing a pen and, you know, the TrackMan guy's behind you, and it's like, hey, what, or Rapsodo, whatever you guys use, like, hey, what was the spin on that? And you can kind of go into, like, you can elaborate, like, hey, I'm trying to have this at this axis at this, so it plays like that. So then we don't have guys saying, you know, or guys and girls, whoever's watching the game, you know, against the Astros, why are people swinging through Javier's fastball? It's right down the middle. And it's like, no, they're probably working on that in their pen, saying, hey, if I get my hand here opposed to here, you know, that makes a huge difference. And, like, to get little things out like that, I think that would be huge for A, the game, and just, like, people becoming, you know, more in tune of where the game is.
I agree. I think the only thing, like, I agree, you can add a lot more info, but it's like staying on your own team. Like, if you mic someone up in game, like, if they say something about their guys, no problem. But it's like, I think the only time you get in trouble is when you start talking about the other team. Like,
right. And it doesn't even have to be in game. You, like I said, pre-game for sure, infielders and outfielders, like, I that's some of, like, my favorite time, because I am very passionate about infield and, like, what I do every day. Like, I basically have the same routine every single day, and I couldn't imagine what those guys in the big leagues who have doing it for 10, 15 years, like, hey, how often do you guys do this? Are you still working on this like you did in your second year opposed to your 10th year? Like, you know, I think personally that there's just, again, I could be biased, obviously, but, like, there's just so much more beneficial information coming from those conversations opposed to in-game 20 seconds after you hit a huge home run. Like, Bryce Harper or Reese Hoskins the other day hits one, throws his bat, and, like, he doesn't even get a chance to celebrate or think about what just happened. He's doing an interview.
I just don't think they add that much, and I think there's other stuff that can add more. Somebody had that idea, and everybody jumped on it. It was like, this is a great idea. I don't think it adds that much, but I don't blame them for. I guess I appreciate the fact that they're trying new things. They're 100% trying different ways of engagement.
100%,
definitely.
It is very strange, and I wonder if someday the baseball will get to that point where some of that stuff is more out there and more accepted. It's a fine line, but you see, like, with Javi and Amir Garrett, like, now that when they face each other, that's appointment television now. Like, when Amir's coming, like, they're wondering if he's going to go back out or if he's going to let a guy on bait. Like, if somebody gets a hit, then Javi gets up. Like, that's appointment TV now. That is, like, one of the most extreme examples in baseball, and some would say, like, kind of a, like, I do you really, like, I don't know that I necessarily want to be in that situation with a pitcher, like, very often, where, like, it is, like, that animosity and you're starting, like, every time you face a guy, the bench is clear. Like, if that's the situation we're going to end up in, then it's not worth it. But it makes for, I mean, if you mic those two guys up during or before or after an at bat,
no, you couldn't get that God, out there. You couldn't content. Get that out
Holy
there.
Smokes.
See, I've never understood that, like, building animosity with, like, one guy. Like, I'm someone, like, I'm not trying to talk shit to another hitter, because I don't want them coming up their next at bat, like, oh, I'm going to get this fucking guy. Like, he was talking, like, I don't, you know what I mean? Like, why give someone extra firepower to lock in even more? Like, Javi's going up there and he's like, if I hit a single, I'm still pissed off. Like, he wants to hit a ball 500 feet.
Well, I think there's a lot of hitters that feel the same way. Like, I don't want to give a guy,
like, make him forget about me. I feel one of them,
I
like,
I'm
going to
lull him to sleep
like,
and then. Yeah. And then get, like, the mistake.
Wow, I can't get this guy out, opposed to, like, wow, I fucking hate this guy. I'm locked in on him. Like,
which,
Zach, no, I'm all set. All set.
Zach, that's especially true, like, in the minors. Like, when you have, like, a big prospect, like, I faced Torkelson this year. Like, when, like, someone like that comes to play, you're like, oh, I got to get this guy. Like, this is, like, a good fucking hitter.
Right.
Versus, like, and I mean, everyone's a good hitter if you're in professional
See,
baseball.
This
but you
PC,
know what I mean?
This is the PC issue with baseball. If you would have gone out and said, this guy who stinks.
Well, I was going to say, like, an 8-9 hole, who's usually not your best hitters. That's why they're in the 8-9 hole. Like, you're not as, like, amped up to be like, oh, I got to get this guy. It's like, all right, like, let's just worry about the top and, like, the meat of the order.
Before we move on, I'll give you a personal example. And this is, I didn't think I would ever tell this story publicly, but I'll say it.
Let's go.
We're playing in New York this year against the Mets. Mm-hmm. I come up maybe first and third with Ottavino's on the bump. Ugh. And he throws me first pitch slider. I saw it pretty well. It started way out there and I saw it pretty well. And it was just a little bit slower than I expected. And I took a good pass, but I popped it straight up on the infield. And there was less than two outs, so it was infield fly. Or maybe there was third and there was nobody. But regardless, as soon as I hit it and popped it up, I yelled, fuck. And, like, I don't do that to, like, at the pitcher. I'm frustrated that I didn't get the run in, right?
Yeah.
He, as soon as I yell, fuck, he's running in to back up home plate just because, and he's kind of running pretty close to me, and he yells, fuck, as like a, and he was like smiling, yeah. But it was like as a, like, oh, fuck you. You're going to yell, fuck, when you pop up. Like,
but you're yelling, yell, I would never take that as their, like, the guy's pissed he popped up. Like, it's not even like, oh, I should have hit that at home. Like, I should have hit a home run. It's like, oh, fuck.
Yeah. But that's like one of those moments where you're like, all right, man, I get it.
But that's like the same thing. Like, I've walked guys where I'm like, why did I just walk this guy? And I let out like a fuck, like, into my glove. Cause I'm like, yeah, that guy stunk. Like, why did I just walk him?
Yeah. And you imagine the hitter goes, fuck. Euclid had a really good story when he was facing Verlander years ago, and he hit a foul home run and Verlander yelled, fuck. And then Euclid hit a double in the gap on like the next pitch or two pitches later, same at bat. And as soon as he hit it, he's like, fuck. Because it, and it's like that, you have those little things throughout, but like that story, like with Ottavino, or like that story with you, like those would never get told, and you don't, those aren't out there. But if like dudes are mic'd up and you see it, like, that's just, there's little things that happen throughout the game like that the fans don't really get to experience or appreciate.
Yeah. But hey, what were you thinking on that home run, Ian? That's what we all want to hear.
Yeah. Good pitch. Good swing. Thanks.
I think the thing that I would say, though, is like, you guys have focused a lot on the adversary nature of baseball. And like, I think fans want to hear, like, if you mic'd up Kevin Long, like, for example, let's just say, and you had him talking. I mean, granted, the hard part about that, especially in live time, is you don't want to, they don't want to give away strategy. But if there was a way you could guarantee that you could show Kevin Long talking to Rhys Hoskins about his last at bat in an interesting, engaging way, I think that's so much better than getting 30 seconds with either manager where they're not going to say anything, you know? And I think that's the ways where you talked about F1. That's a sport that sold itself, right? It sold the story of that sport so well that it got an American audience. And you talked about football as well. NFL Films is unparalleled at this. Every week they put out incredible mic'd up segments.
Yeah.
Those sports know how to tell their stories well. And I can't say baseball doesn't, but I think baseball needs to think about ways it can get to those levels to match that, because that's ultimately how you're going to keep fans and get new fans.
I think if you had a mic'd up of me and Nico looking at video of our last at bat and like talking to each other about it. And, you know, some of that is like, if you're sitting on a pitch or not, you don't really want to give that away because you're going to face that guy again. But just like, oh man, that just ran a little bit more than I thought, got a little in on me. And like those things as you're like going through it, I think those would be really interesting conversations.
Like a catcher and a pitcher in between innings. Same thing.
Yeah.
Like, obviously, like you said, you don't want to give too much away. Like, if Wainwright and Molina are talking about facing you, and then you see the video and it's like, oh, that's how they're gonna attack me. But the thing is, it's like, you faced them. Like, you already know how they're gonna attack you because you saw it happen.
Right. Right. I totally agree.
You lived it.
Yeah. If you say maybe something not like, hey, when he goes like this on changeup, his glove gets a little bit wider. Yeah, let's not air that because we want to put that one in the back pocket.
But if it's like, hey, like he struggles with back foot sliders, like get him though too, and like let's get one back to, like, I think that'd be awesome here.
Because guess
what? Like, that's cool stuff to see.
Right. I know the same shit.
Yeah, 100%.
Teams, you know, PR guys, like everybody errs on the side of caution because the last thing you want is something strategy and something like that to get out. And then everybody's angry. So,
well, that's the thing. Like, I was just gonna say, last thing is like going back to the Darnold clip, you make one mistake with those, and then everyone just goes so far the other way that they never want it to be interesting ever again. And I think we can find a way to make it interesting where it's not adversarial and it's not game plan stuff, but it's giving the fans what they want, which is exactly what you said. Like, oh, that two seamer, I was loaded up for it and I just missed it or whatever. But like, it doesn't have to be anything crazy. But that, to me, would add a lot to the game, and I think that could happen very easily.
Again, I'm a little biased, but, like, I think, you know, people were all saying about Donaldson missing Javier Cedar again. Like, if he came back and was mic'd up and saying, like, to somebody, yo, I cannot get above this guy's heater, it looks like it's rising to me, I think fans would be like, huh, what does he mean that it's rising? What does he mean that it's opposed to just like, oh, my God, it's 92 right down the middle? Like, this guy punched out 200 guys in 140 innings. Like, he does it. He misses bats.
Then it baits him into throwing him heaters the next at bat.
That's what I'm saying. And then the hitters come out on top.
Before we move on, the next thing I want to talk about is kind of related pitcher game planning stuff. I want to talk about Athletic Greens. Listen, guys. I know you guys like Athletic Greens. I know you guys have been on the Athletic Greens train for a while. I've let you guys talk a lot about Athletic Greens because I'm going to be honest. Your boy hadn't really had the Athletic Greens experience much. Okay. Maybe Tom's in the anatomy. Maybe I shouldn't have said that. I had Athletic Greens today. Okay.
It was your first time.
I got them sent to me from the old Cubbies. I had Athletic Greens. I'm a little nervous about green stuff, green things, green juices. I'm not a big green juice guy, but let me tell you, I liked them. I liked the way they tasted.
Me and Zach haven't been lying this whole time, and we've liked them the whole time.
Was saying this in like April or whenever we got them. Like, yeah. Yo, this is really good.
I said, I got all 75 really high
quality vitamins, minerals, whole food source, superfoods, and probiotics. That's what I got today. All of them.
You're such a clown that you had.
I think mine had those too.
You're a clown, but keep going. Come on. I love Athletic Greens.
Athletic Greens. You know what I was doing today? I was investing in an all-in-one nutritional insurance. Athletic Greens were giving away free 1-year supply of immune supporting vitamin D and 5 travel packets, free travel packets with your first purchase. athleticgreens.com/compound, athleticgreens.com/compound. I'm in on it. I'm in on Athletic Greens. And you know what else the Cubbies sent me? Shout out to the Cubbies because Tom doesn't send me Athletic Greens. Is they sent me the bag that you can scoop out of, and they sent me travel packets. So I'm going on a little. I'm leaving Friday. I'm not going to be back for a while, so I can take enough Athletic Greens to get me through the road trip. So. Good for me.
Are we flying or driving?
We're flying. Yep. I'm going to be in a few cities over the course of 10 days, and it's going to be
networking
a lot. But we'll find time to record, guys. Don't worry about it. All right.
I can't wait till we get the. Hey, can you guys go without me tonight? I don't know if I'm be able to make it. We're having 100%. A show dinner.
How many episodes have I not been on? How many episodes of this show? We're episode. What do we say today? 134. How many? You missed
one. I have also missed one.
I mean, nobody was accusing you of missing.
I'm just letting you know.
I'm getting accused.
Like, it's
here.
Not like you make it more than we do. I don't think Zach's missed one.
I missed one somewhat recently.
He's missed like 10 or 12 or something.
Hey.
This is what I want to talk about. So I'm watching the World Series. World Series? Who was it, Tom? Who did I say? Harper?
Presley.
Schwarber? It was Schwarber. Talking about? Yeah. My good friend Kyle.
Oh, yeah.
Okay. Kyle's hitting. I don't know Presley that well. I don't like, I haven't faced him, but pretty sure he's a 4 and a curveball.
No, he throws four pitches.
Cutter, slider. Huh.
All right. You talk about this. Talk about this. I'm going to look up his percentages real quick.
I know. I faced him last year once or twice, and especially against a righty. So like he throws like a funky angle anyway. So you think that he's just going to pull and yank. But his ball also has like the rise, I believe, from what I remember. What it's showing.
I'm ready to talk about this.
Hey, Zach, I hope you're done talking because Ian's ready to talk.
I'm ready to talk about this.
Hopefully you're done, Zach, because it's Ian's turn.
Well, I got away from my story. I wanted to tell my story.
He was continuing on.
I was going to say, as a righty, everything's going away.
Go ahead.
You know what?
Listen,
you know what? I hope you're busy in the next 10 days.
Okay. He's to lefties this year for the whole year, 34% curveball, and it's a 12-6.
Like we said already.
30% weird. 4 at 94.5. That's his average velo, probably ticked up in the playoffs. And it's on our chart, it's a slider, but I'm saying it's probably more of a cutter at 90. That's 30%. So 30-34. For the season. 6% changeup. That's when a hitter is looking at a scouting report and 6% changeup, and it's the other three pitches are 30. That's pretty much elimination.
Yes. Oh my God. Yeah.
Dakota, when was the last time you stepped in the box with that size 8 melon?
I was going to say, I guess I never look at those. I can't answer. I'm going to
get the video from Sacramento.
Yeah, it went well. I faced Rodgers.
So I'm watching this Schwarber at bat. Schwarber's grinding him out. He goes, change up, change up. I mean, two. And so everything he's throwing for the listener is fours up. And then the other two pitches are moving towards you. So there's nothing going away from you as a lefty. There's nothing going towards the outside corner. So it's the way that you're looking at pitches is that everything's coming towards you. That changes the way that you're going to try to enter the bat into the zone and your approach. This guy goes two, not just like poop changeups, like pretty good 90 miles an hour with some arm side run at the bottom of the zone. And I was like, I know I could feel it in my gut of like Schwarber walking back to the dugout, because I know how much he looks at reports, and him being like, God damn it. That is not what I was looking for. He's not supposed to do that. And when a pitcher does something he's not supposed to do, you just walk back and when you get that 6% pitch or the 2% pitch, you're just like, damn it.
He threw a changeup to Aaron Judge as well.
Well, and he's 2%, 2% to righties, 2% to righties.
So what I was saying, as a righty, everything's going away from you, no matter what he's throwing. And then, so lefty, especially if he's at 6%.
Through two to Rizzo.
You're thinking, yes, you did. You're thinking.
One to Carpenter.
Everything is coming into you.
I'm so just saying, then, it's not that crazy. Like, this isn't that outrageous that he broke him out.
But he's throwing it more now.
The thing that's crazy is he's ticked it up in the playoffs. He didn't throw it during the regular season. And now in the postseason, he is throwing it. And I'm sure that is now a discussion in the Philly clubhouse that is 100%. I can promise you, because K Long is K Long, and because of the guys they have in that clubhouse, now they're going down in the cage. And when they go in the cage, they're going, hey, we're starting to notice this is ticked up. He's throwing it 12% of the time. So you have to respect the changeup. So now this guy is a true four pitch.
Now
mix.
He knows. Yeah. Now you're fucked.
And it's like, ooh.
And that's what I'm saying is like a lefty, like, so he's throwing those pitches to everything is coming into a lefty. So as soon as you see that front hip changeup coming in, you're like, oh, he yanked the slider, yanked the heater, yanked the curveball, yanked the cutter. And then it's like, it's going back over the plate. And you have not, like you said, you're Schwarber and you're just like, motherfucker. What?
I mean, even the middle ball. So that changeup that ends down and away, that has to start middle in to get down and away and still be a strike. So that pitch, it's at 90. So it looks different than the heater. So you're probably not on the heater, but you're on the cutter when he throws that. So you're looking for that ball to come at you. And then so that it's the instinct when it's coming at you is to clear, because you have to clear to get there. And then as soon as you flinch to clear, that's when you get that ass out, like, oh my God, swing. And so it's a nasty mix. And usually guys that throw 6% changeups like that, it's because that it's an arm side miss. Like 50% of the time, it's an arm side miss out of the hand where they push it because everything they're doing is this way. And then it's a push, but his does not seem like that. It seems like he's spotting it down in the zone. He's spotting it down in a way. He's doing a really good job of throwing that. And like just watching the game and like having I have never faced him, but having a little understanding of like who he is as a pitcher, I was like, oh, if he's doing that.
Right. And if he's only throwing it 6% of the time, in the back of your mind as a hitter, you're like, okay, either it's not a good pitch or he's not comfortable throwing it for a strike. So it's like you said, you're eliminating it because of the percentage and that he's not going to feel comfortable throwing in a big situation. And now in the playoffs, he's throwing it in huge situations.
Well, here I'm looking at the video right now. This 6% actually includes the playoffs. I'm trying to figure out when he threw it before that. I mean, it seems like at the end of the season, he threw it a little bit. At the end of the season, he was probably getting a feel for it, but
I was gonna say changeup's also the biggest feel pitch you can have. If you lose it, it's gone, and if you have it, it's pretty good.
On our system, he's thrown 27 of them this year, and the first one he threw was in August.
Yeah, so I mean that exactly though. That makes the 6% make even more sense because he didn't throw it early in the year. So he probably didn't even have it.
I guess he's ticked it up. August 9th was his first one. Let me give you it's now a 13% pitch.
And this is, and that's my point is I bet, I know he had a really good year, I bet it was something. Wouldn't you agree, Zach, as a righty, if you're facing a righty and he throws a cutter, a cut fastball, a slider, and a curveball, it's like, oh, that's pretty comfortable. It's all going away.
Everything's going away from you, right?
And I bet they worked with him, and they're like, hey, man, if you can get something that goes into a righty or dives down and away from a lefty, like, that's going to be pretty effective. So I guarantee, like, that's why he built – they're, like, mixed it in.
It's crazy how it took him this long to kind of be like, hey, man, you're really good. Imagine.
But it's also one of those, like, it's not that easy to just learn a new pitch and then go throw it to Aaron Judge. Yeah, and of course. You know what I mean? Like, that's – he probably knew for a while, like, even a two seam would be kind of effective, but it's just easier said than done.
He threw two of them to righties in the regular season, and then Judge and Castellanos are the two he's thrown in the postseason to righties.
Oh, that Castellanos one was fucked.
He is since the end of September, so I guess we can go since October 1, he's 15% changeup, 29%. Oh, sorry, 20% changeup, 38% curveball, 33% slider, only 9% fastball to lefties. 9%. This guy throws 95 with carry or ride, 9% fastball. That's interesting.
He's in the 97th percentile for fastball spin on Baseball Savant as well.
He's throwing 9% those.
I'm curious what his vertical break is. You know what I mean? Like, because you can have a high spin rate, I think, and not have good vert break, right?
I'm pretty sure it's – I don't know.
I will say, while you guys look for that number, I was thinking about the whole time.
I can look at it right now.
Aroldis Chapman, late in his career, developed the splitter.
Yeah.
And it was one of those, like, three – it eventually crept up and kind of became a third pitch. But when he first started throwing it, it was a real 2-3% pitch. And if he threw it, it was an automatic strikeout just because the guy was sitting dead red.
Anything else, yeah.
Yeah, and if you're loading up for an Aroldis Chapman 103 fastball and he throws you like an 89-mile-an-hour splitter, it's just – forget it. It was like,
what the hell is that? You can't
– yeah. The first times – a couple times I saw it, I was like, is that like witchcraft? It was unbelievable. It was the greatest pitch I've ever seen, I think.
This is fascinating to me. This is the stuff. This is why baseball is fun. This is fascinating. I'm shocked that he's throwing such a low percentage of heaters. It seems like he's kind of completely arm side with the heater. Maybe that was kind of a trend and they were trying to figure something else out. But he's spinning it at 2400. I don't have a vert break on it, but he's spinning it at 2400.
That's another fear of – we have other guys, like I played with a guy this year, Leaper, who has a cut ride fastball, and their fear with those guys that have natural cut ride is like, hey, if you start throwing a two seam or a changeup, like, we don't want you to start pronating. Like, then you'll lose that natural hand position and arm path. So that could be –
explain that to the listener. Explain the difference in the wrist and the pronation and what you're trying to do.
So when you're throwing like a slider, you're trying to stay as supinated as possible. Supinated?
Yeah.
Supinated is where you're like – it's hard to do it without a visual, but it's like your thumb is towards your body. Put it that way. Your thumb's towards your body for like a slider. And if you – for my changeup, I supinate it as much as possible. Like, I literally try to turn my hand over so that my thumb's facing straight out.
That's –
so
pronating,
if you're a guy –
That's pronating.
Pronating. Yeah. Sorry. I like to pronate as much as possible on my changeup. So if you're a guy – some people just naturally, their arm comes through and their hand's kind of tilted to be like a cut, like a cutter, like you're kind of on the side
John
of the
Lester. And because he had thrown it for so long, John really didn't turn. He didn't pronate. He pronated super late. Like, those guys will throw and release, and then the pronation comes after. I'm pretty sure when I throw, I pronate behind my head. I'm pretty sure I just – like, it's a pronation.
That's like Dylan Maples. His slider was so good because he wouldn't pronate until like the ball was already out of his hand. So it would literally just come straight through in supination. So Leaper has good supination, like just natural. And he, like, one day in a bullpen was like, let me throw like a changeup. Like, he only throws fastball slider. And he's like, let me throw a changeup. And it was a really good changeup. But they don't want him to throw a changeup because they're like, if you start throwing a changeup and all of a sudden your fastball loses its cut ride, like, you're screwed. So that's
I don't know if that happens because that's your pitch, because that's your money maker. So if you try to do something else and lose the ability to do what makes you really good, then
not everyone like you can't make your ball cut right. Like I don't think you can teach someone to have cut right. It's like some guys just have it. Like you just throw the way you throw the baseball is like that. So I don't know if that's what happened with Presley. Maybe that's why he's not throwing as many. Maybe his fastball kind of, I don't know, maybe his hand placement or it just died off a little bit. So he's like, all right, let's throw more off speed. And it's easier to stay supinated on sliders, obviously, because you're trying to literally like rip through it.
I do think, real quick, Tom, I do think that that's one of the lessons that analytics has probably learned over the last 5 years as they've tried to make guys good at everything. Mm-hmm. You know, I think early on in this Rapsodo and finding all of these things where they can slow it down and they can really have an understanding for what makes pitches do what they do, they would try to get guys to have 3, 4, 5 plus pitches. And they started to find like, oh shit, we can get a guy to throw a changeup, but then we turn him into this kind of pedestrian at everything pitcher and we lose what made him good. And now they're starting to correct that and go like, maybe we don't try to do that to everybody.
If you have one elite pitch, like certain, like Jeremiah Estrada, his four seam fastball, like it's an elite four seam fastball. Like if your vertical break is 20 plus, they basically do everything they can to not mess with that or mess that up. So they're like, we don't care really too much about your off speed. Like just get decent off speed because your fastball is unhittable.
And I think that like that one pitch can get you to the big leagues, and then mm-hmm. they see how well it plays there, if it'll keep you there. And if it doesn't, yes. if that one pitch gets hit and your other stuff is too sloppy, then when you come back down, that's when they make the adjustment of like, okay, now for you to have sustained success in the big leagues, you're either gonna have to figure out how to locate that one better or find two other pitches that complement what you're doing, which I think in the pitching department and how that's developed is a really interesting,
like, kind of. There's a reason Kenley Jensen doesn't throw, like, I don't think he throws a changeup, does he?
Who?
Does he throw a splitter?
Who?
No. Kenley Jensen?
No, but Kenley started throwing a sinker. So Kenley has, you know, Kenley was always a cut guy.
Yeah.
And he would throw 90% cutters. And then kind of in the last 2 years, one of the things that he started doing was a slider, which is, you know, complements his cutter. It's just slower. Honestly, mm-hmm. it's not that good. And like his cutter is so good, the slider is just a speed variance. But then what he started doing was he started throwing this splitter or this sinker. And so now he throws a 93 to 96, depending on where he's at, cutter. And then he'll throw like a 92 to 97 mile an hour sinker. And they're like opposite.
That's where the tunneling comes into play. It's like, if it's coming out of the same slot, like you have no clue. Like you have to hope you picked right. Like you don't have time to adjust.
He threw me. I was on cutter this year. I can't remember if this was in Atlanta or at home. I was on cutter and he threw me a pitch that was literally in the other batter's, like it was 2 feet in the other batter's box, and I swung at it because it went the wrong way.
Isn't that one of those ones where fans are like, what are you swinging at? And you're like, you come try it. You can try and hit this. The guy only throws these, and then this one goes the other way. I can't do that.
It was one of the moments in my, I will not forget that, because it was one of the moments in my big league career where I went, wow, that's okay. Like I did. It was like, when I was younger, if I would have done that, I would have been like, oh my God, what the fuck? You're this, what are you doing? But like, I was so committed. I was so convicted to his cutter, and it happened. And I was just like, all right, that's all right.
Wouldn't you rather that be like locked in on his cutter and swing and miss and look silly than like, be like, it could be a cutter. And then you swing at a cutter and you like follow it off and you're like, fucking commit, and it's a home run.
Yeah. I mean, that's how you hit good pitching. You have to be sold out. You have to be absolutely sold out to hit good pitching.
It's funny, like guys who don't come off of their plan sometimes are the best hitters, because they're just like, fuck it, I'm staying to my plan. I'm not going to get caught in between. And if I do, I can get beat off of my plan. But if I'm not getting off the heater here, you know, and if you take it, it's a win.
And that's what you have to do, when, especially when guys are throwing 100 and then they're throwing a 91 mile an hour wipeout slider. You're like, I basically got to stick to which one I think it is.
You can't protect all three or all four pitches that he has.
Yeah. It's just not possible.
Dakota, can I ask you, cause I know you're a big changeup guy, and you talked about how hard it is to, like, how you can lose that feel in the changeup.
Mm-hmm.
when I worked in Summer Bowl, we actually had Jim Clem, who's like a West Coast pitching guru, who they, all the Pac-12 schools would send their guys up just to learn changeups, right? So we'd have, I would see 500 changeups a summer from every guy learning how to throw a changeup. What makes the changeup so hard for guys to find and kind of hold that feel?
I think it's just weird because there's so many different ways to hold a changeup. Like, I hold a circle change, but I hold it like, it's hard to describe without a baseball. Like, I hold it like on the side, and it's a pitch that like I'm holding it like this, like my whole hand is over the ball. So it's kind of different the way it comes off every time. And your hand doesn't want to come, like you want to throw your fastball, like rip right behind it. Like your changeup, you're like dumping it out, or like, it's just a, like, even for me, every offseason, it takes a good month before I even like get my changeup back. Like the first three or four bullpens, they are dog shit. They just like float up there. They don't move. Like, it's such a feel pitch that you just need to get. And it's hard to teach because for me, like I said, I like to pronate as much as possible, but some people throw like the four seam changeup and they just rip down through it. Some guys are better with splitters. Like, it depends on how you throw a baseball. It's really weird.
Yeah. Cause it was one of the most interesting things to see was you would see, like, for example, Spencer Howard, who was a second round pick of the Phillies up with the Rangers the last couple of years. He came, learned the changeup, instantly just became a different pitcher, just became significantly better. And then you'd see, for every example like that, there were two guys who would throw 50 changeups in their first three starts. And then you'd be like, never see it again. Cause they would just,
yeah,
for whatever reason, wouldn't take.
It's the same thing. It's really the same with any pitch. Like, if Clayton Kershaw is like, this is how I hold a curveball, like, try it, Dakota. And I tried it. Like, I'm not going to all of a sudden have Clayton Kershaw's curveball. You know what I mean? Like, it's just, it's weird. Like, just because you hold it the same way, or like, it's just crazy. Everything's different for everybody. Like, your arm angle. I don't know. I literally can't explain it. I don't know. It doesn't make sense. It doesn't make sense because you'd think, especially like, I've asked guys, cause there's other guys in our org, like I have comparable arm angles to, like kind of comparable motions almost. And I'm like, how do you hold that? Like, what do you think when you do that? And then you go and try it, and it's like, it's still dog shit. Like, it doesn't make sense.
Welcome,
like, it
should welcome work. To hitting when you're,
that's
trying,
what I mean,
to figure out,
exactly,
what somebody's doing.
That's like if Ian asked you, like, hey man, like, what are you doing with your hands there? And you told him, and Ian goes up there and goes, that feels horrible. Like, I'll never get a hit like that.
I think that's for the most part how it goes.
Tom, it's just different for everyone. Like, it's weird.
This has been a really good discussion. We're getting deep into our time window here. I wanted to try to put that. I just sent these guys the sinker I swung at in the other batter's box, and then the cutter, and like, they both started in the same place, so that you guys
tunneling 101.
Hey, be on time to that cutter. All right, come on.
I want to see if we can get that in the YouTube video, or maybe in a short, like a 1 minute clip. That's pretty good.
That wasn't even,
maybe
that
find
bad
those
swing
pitches not on my iPhone video.
I thought it was me in the other fucking batter.
Yeah, that wasn't that bad.
Dude, it's in the other batter. How often do you swing at a sinker that's that far off the plate? I mean, that's
that
far
started
off
outer third. That didn't like
that's
start
what I'm
like
saying.
Off
it takes
and keep
off
going.
Can I be honest? Oh. The first swing I thought was the good one, because I was like, oh, yeah, it off. And then the second pitch happened, I was like, wait, the first one's the bad one?
And you need a fluff in the offseason coming off an all-star campaign? Are we serious?
I mean, you got Zach swinging at my slider in the dirt, and my slider stinks.
Yeah, but then you fucking hit me. That? You hit me. You hit me.
I was pissed about it.
You fucking hit me.
I've hit you twice now.
When you face a lefty, how often are you swinging at a guy's fastball in the other batter's box?
But it started as a strike.
Or
it wasn't
on the
like
white
it
line
started out.
I mean, that's not happening. Regardless. All right.
Zach, would
you
agree that
you don't
that
think
was
it's
just
that
a
bad
good fucking
but
pitch?
That's why I just said back LOL. I was like, oh, okay. I thought it was gonna be way worse. Like, good for
I
you,
thought
man.
It was like, right, oh, this shit went to the backstop.
Don't put it in there. Don't do the video. I'm over it. And Tom,
it wasn't
can you talk
bad
to us? Tom, listen. Let's take a deep breath. All right, everybody take a deep breath. There's one more thing I want to cover before we get to screen time, and it's going to take a minute. This episode's going to be fucking 4 hours long. Talk to us about BetterHelp, Tom. Please, BetterHelp.
Now a word from our sponsor, BetterHelp. I want to talk to you guys about BetterHelp online therapy. I'll be honest, guys. I started going to therapy in the pandemic. It was really helpful for me. Everyone deserves to feel their best, and BetterHelp makes it easy to get started. As the world's largest therapy service, they've matched millions of people with professionally licensed and vetted therapists available 100% online. All the benefits of in-person therapy, plus it's more convenient, more accessible, and more affordable. I was actually talking to my friend, and I told him I do therapy all online, and not through BetterHelp, but I would do it through BetterHelp, because I found online it's sometimes easier to talk about some of the problems you're having. So I think doing it online, I know that might seem a little bit unusual. I actually think it's great. There's no waiting rooms. There's no traffic, no endless searching for the right therapist. Get unstuck with BetterHelp. Learn more and save 10% off your first month at betterhelp.com/compound. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/compound.
Tom is doing every ad read from here on out. It's not even close.
You've been hiding your voice this whole time.
That could be on a commercial.
Good, it is a commercial. We just did.
See how it's done. You see how it's done, Ian? Wow.
If anybody follows our TikTok account, that's going to be the video from this week. It's just going to be Tom doing an ad read. Is that good?
No, it's not.
Yes. Yes.
I want to cover this before we get too far in. Pat Hoberg.
Oh, yeah.
Umpire. Great dude. He is actually the most accurate in the league. He actually was the number one most accurate umpire in the league this year. I like Pat a lot. I'm a big fan. He did something, and I think hadn't been done yet this year. He had a perfect game, and he did it on the biggest stage. He had 129 pitches that were not swung at. Okay, so he had to make calls on 129 pitches. He did not miss one. Perfect game.
So
game two of the World Series. That's
almost a performance where it's like, hey, man, you got the rest of the series. Like, you're staying back to the next.
Well, I think it's so important. Like, these guys catch so – I mean, what they do is not easy. It's really hard to call a baseball game. These guys catch so much flack for – you know, because the box is there and because we can see exactly, you know, where the pitch ends up, these guys catch so much heat for it. But you have to celebrate when these guys are great. Like, you have to give him the props for, like, the thing that should be celebrated is Pat Hoberg having a perfect game, not when a guy has a crazy punch out celebration and punches dudes 6 inches off the plate and then it gets on Pitching Ninja and everyone's like, oh, he's got such a strikeout call, so cool. No. Being accurate is cool. Having a 129 out of 129 is really, really cool. That's what needs to be celebrated. Pat Hoberg, awesome job. I hope he umps every game that I hit in for the rest of my life.
And what's crazy is that you got Maldonado and Real Muto behind the plate, two of the best defensive catchers. So it's like they're framing some shit that looks like a strike because of how good they are, but he's like, nope, can't get me.
Do you think if they're trying to stick pitches and he doesn't give it to him, he's like, throw that shit back. I know where it is. Yeah, let's go.
He's like, come on. It's a fucking ball.
He's one of those dudes. We relate. We talk to each other about something that we might have had done up here. And
I was so confused what you were saying there. I was like, what?
I think all of our audio-only listeners have no idea what Ian just
said. That's okay.
They
That's
both right. got hair plugs.
Go watch,
hey,
go
hey,
watch
hey, come
a,
on.
Go watch the YouTube.
What?
He is the type of dude that, like, I think it was Yankee Stadium. He called one low on me this year that was, like, it was down. And, like, the next day, and you know, we have a relationship, and I'm like, I got that down, Pat. And he's like, all right. And then the next day you go out there, he's at third. The next day I'm going out to left. And he's like, hey man, I got you bad there. Like, that was a bad one. That's on me. And like that, because he cares so much about getting it right. And there was another one later in the year. Like the next time I had him, it was down, but it clipped the bottom, but it was like right there. And I said, I think that was a little down. Next day came back out and he's like, do you look at that? And I was like, yeah, just clipped the bottom. That was a good call. And he was like, I'm so glad I didn't do it to you twice. Like I was like, I was really nervous that I got you twice, two games in a row. And like, that's the type of dude that he is. He cares about it. He takes pride in it. He goes back, he watches,
looks at it. Yeah.
And when he's wrong, he's like, dude, that's my bad. Cause he understands that it affects our careers. And like, that's why he's good. I'm a big Pat Hoberg fan.
For one, because especially in the infield, you talk to the umpires a lot. Like, you're just human contact. Someone's standing next to you, you're going to talk to them, you know? And like, there's a lot of the times where I'll argue and then like, I'll come back and either look in the next day or whatever. And I'll say like, hey man, like, my bad. I didn't mean to yell at you. I was just pissed off. I haven't gotten a hit in 3 weeks. Like, my bad. And they're like, hey dude, all good. Don't worry about it. And then like what you said, especially in the minor leagues, because they're in the same boat as we are.
Don't do that shit though.
Bro, No. There is plenty of times where they'll say, I'll say, hey, did you look at that last night? And they're like, yeah, I did. My bad. I'm like, hey, all good. But like, if you're out there saying like, yeah, it's a strike. And I'm like, yo, I'm literally looking at it right now. Like, it was like a 0.3% chance. It's not. Don't lie. Don't lie and say you looked at it. Don't lie and say it was a strike. But those guys, you know, who say like, I don't know. It's both ways. As a player, if you can say, hey, man, my bad. I fucked up. Shouldn't have argued at you. Great. And if it's vice versa, I think that's awesome too, because you're trying to get the call, the play, whatever it is, you're trying to get it right. Nobody's up there saying like, nah, is that eight up there? Yeah, let's bring him up. Here we go.
At least you hope not.
Yeah, you know. Hey, we'll see. But
anything else to say about Pat? I think that's
– no, it's sick. That's insane.
I think that's like, awesome.
We couldn't do that. Like, you couldn't get behind the dish and call a perfect game.
I would call a 70% game if I got back there. I'd call a better game from the batter's box. I could get closer from the batter's box. It's like, I'm going to stand in the opposite box as the hitter, and I'm just going to call him from there. Just going to wear a bunch of foul balls off my chest.
Ian, the video you just sent, though, that's what I mean. That's my point of how hard it is. He caught that. I would have told you that's a strike.
Yeah, and that's like down. That's like down.
That's down. That's like 2 to 3 balls down.
But you know what I'm saying? Like, take out the box and you look at that, you're like, ah, like pain in the knees. But it wasn't.
And that's why their job is really hard.
We had the track man this year at a few places in the dugout, so it was live. I was even feeling bad. I was like, yeah, can't have this track man on. Like, this is
these guys. Where you could see it as it was happening.
Bro, you had just like a standard box, but like in and out, we would have somebody say, no, it's not. Like, 3 seconds after, I'm like, bro.
That's hard. But I do think, like, if those guys had it in their ear, I've said this before on this podcast, if those guys had it in their ear where they could hear it as it was happening, it would make them better throughout the game. Tom, what do you got?
I was going to say, did you guys see in the Arizona Fall League, they've been testing the challenge system. And it looks, it's a lot like tennis, and it looks pretty effective so far.
Yeah.
I'm down for the challenge. I don't want, as much as I complain about umpires, I don't want the automated strike zone personally.
I agree.
I would like there to be some kind of challenge thing.
Yeah.
You get what the rules are of that.
You get 3 of them. Yeah.
I don't know, but like, I would like there to be some kind of, I hope that, like, I saw the Fall League one. It was pretty quick. I hope that they can even get faster where it's just like someone's upstairs. As soon as it happens, it's like challenge strike.
Okay. It is that quick. Like, they have it on TrackMan that fast too. That's the
they
thing.
Should.
Like, it should literally be like, hey, like radio down, like, yep, strike.
I don't know why it took like 13 seconds for them to announce it over the PA system.
Well, it seemed like the video I saw, I don't know if we saw different ones, it was like tennis where they show the ball coming into the zone.
Yeah.
And I think part of that is for like the entertainment
factor.
You know what I mean? Like in tennis, a lot of times it'll be like, oh,
I'm kind of down. I'm kind of down with that.
Yeah, that's fair. That's fair.
Let's do the screen time. Let's get the people out of here at a reasonable hour. I know they love hanging with us. They love talking. I don't want to keep them too long. I got stuff to do. You know what I mean? I think I had a bad day today, if I'm going to be honest with you. I think I was a little bit.
Definitely had a bad one. Mine's taking forever to update. I'd hate if it just wouldn't update and I couldn't.
I had 4 hours and 20 minutes.
Damn. I didn't even have that bad of a day today. 5:14.
Did you have Google Maps on there?
No. For 5 minutes.
I used... Oh, you're lucky.
How'd you get home?
You're lucky you didn't have Google Maps on there.
I got CarPlay.
No, I think mine does on the car. I think mine does it on the CarPlay. I have 127 minutes on Google Maps today, and my phone.
I'm
getting tagged for my CarPlay time.
By 127 minutes, do you mean 2 hours or do you
mean? Nope, I mean 1 hour and 27 minutes. Okay. I added all of it together. It's an hour and 27 minutes.
What's your total time?
4:31.
That's not that bad still. Tom? Mine was 5:14.
Really good number.
I had a really good number today, and I was like, I felt good about the number. It was 5:42, but still.
Oh, that was
I know. That's like a great day.
That's really good for you. Sub 6 for you.
I wish.
Honestly, Ian had a bad day. Tom had a good day, and me and Zach were, that's pretty usual, around 5.
I wish that you could see my Twitter usage for what it would be for Jets Twitter. If you could, like... Somebody trying to 98% stop me from jumping off a cliff.
Searching Elijah Moore.
We can't get into the Jets. We're going to be here for another hour. Can I just say one quick Sloan story before we go? I went to the bathroom today. I was in an office building, and I went to the restroom. Okay. And I went to pee. it was not a Sloan urinal. Okay. And then you know how that usually the flusher is on the on the apparatus up there,
right?
Usually
up there.
On there. This was crazy. Okay, there was the piping and everything, and then the Sloan. It seemed like it had been. We're gonna have to talk to our friends at Sloan Valve. It seemed like it was aftermarket added on. So they it was on the wall, but kind of like next to behind the flusher system. So I think maybe think about this. If you're an office building, can't confirm or deny that this is real. If you don't have Sloan flushers now. Maybe you don't have to rip out the whole thing that's going on. Okay. Maybe they can just, after the fact, bring in some automation into your current system so you don't have to do a complete revamp. I don't know. Like I said, don't take that for fact. This has not been given to me by Sloan, but there's a chance. Okay. There's a real chance you could do some aftermarket stuff and get some automatic flushers without having to rip out your whole
system. Why would you not try at least?
Why wouldn't you call Sloan Valve and see what you can do today? This is episode 134. It's brought to you by Parse Rum. I'm going to go have some rum. Planet Tree, if you're sad that we got a rained out World Series game, guess what you do?
Watch football.
No, go watch Blitzball Battle 2 on the JM.
I would say just have some Parse, but what? What time?
I was going to say go watch Blitzball Battle 2, JM Ware.
Yeah.
We're going to send you that invoice just doubled. Yeah. Go watch Blitzball. Tom edited the whole thing. It's really great. He's really excited about it. He said it was really, really hot in the warehouse. And I think I heard along the way of this episode that everybody's mic'd up and there's really good content.
A lot of good content.
That's the bill that you're going to get for this is going to be astronomical. Company might go bankrupt.
Send it to @JohnBoy on Twitter.
We will see you next week for episode 135. I thought Scott was going to come on today. What happened?
I texted him and said, like, you want to just do it next week? Because we moved it up an hour. He was.
You told him. You said, you're not that interested.
He would have panicked.
Halloween with his house, so he was like, "It's all good. I got to hand out candy anyway."
Oh my God!
Just put a bowl out there.
He was just complaining that there's no kids anyway.
Yeah, he goes, "I'm pissed. No one showed up."
I'm not gonna write this down because I don't write down things that I want to remember for next week. But I'll show the audience kind of what it looks like. This is what it looks like. Tom, remind me next week when Scott comes on to ask him about how excited he got to prep for Halloween.
Put it in the show notes.
Let's start doing show notes. That's episode 134 of the Compound Podcast. Brought to you by Parse Rum. When I say Parse, you say Rum. Parse
Rum.
Rum.
See you next week.
Ball and Play 2, presented by DraftKings, kicks off on May 5th. Head over to the Warehouse Games channel to catch Game 1. Get some skin in the game and download the DraftKings app right now. Don't forget to use our promo code WAREHOUSE. That's promo code WAREHOUSE only at DraftKings Sportsbook. The crown is yours.